It's the Reality TV Happy Hour with Jordan Parhar, because you can't spell Parhar without R-H-A-P. Reality TV Happy Hour. Reality TV Happy Hour.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Happy Hour, but not with Jordan Parhar. It's me, Taryn Armstrong, and I'm here with Brent Walgamont. How are you doing, Brent?
Oh, my God, you guys, my worst nightmare is happening. I'm on a podcast controlled by Taryn Armstrong. Help me!
The robots have taken over. Have you seen on Twitter, like, there's a billion robot accounts now, and do you have one yet, Brent?
I do not have a robot account, and I take it as a badge of honor, like I tweeted, that I'm the only one of the four of us yeah. who does not have a bot, and none of you bitches out there better make a bot for me, because there is the one, the only, the irreplaceable, never duplicatable Brent. Thank you.
I think the most surefire way to get a bot Twitter account made of you is to say not to do it. So good luck. Yes. I'm also here with Melissa Denny. How are you doing, Melissa?
I'm good. Yeah, I am not my bot. And I think people are afraid to make one for Brent. I mean, I think that's the only logical explanation, is that they just do not, they're too scared.
And did you see you got your way, by the way? I saw that the Melissa bot is definitely prettied up some, like, well, you know, or uglied up, let's say.
I was like, wait, what?
It looks different
than
you.
They prettied up your picture.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. They made an effort. But, I mean, it still does definitely. Kind of look a lot like your pictures. But, you know, whatever.
It does, but, you know, they tried. They made a few different round of changes, yes. And people gave their input. And, you know, it's turning out okay.
Yeah, so we are here to talk about Big Brother Canada 5. We just watched the eviction episode. We saw Gary go home. Brent, how are you feeling about Gary going home?
Sort of ambivalent. I think some people were expecting me to wear my veil tonight. Like, girl, please. I only bring out the veil for really extraordinary circumstances, like the Pax brothers winning, okay? That's where it all started. Like, Gary Levy going home, I mean, he was a good game player, but he was a little too obvious about some of the games that he was playing. And the problem was that he was playing a great game, I think, with everybody in the house, except for one person. And the problem is that one person is basically controlling the whole house. And her name's Netta right now. And she is the queen, just like on Survivor, Sandra's the queen. And the queen is going to have her way. So if you don't respect the queen, you're going to get out of the house. And that's what happened to him.
Yeah, I mean, Melissa, was there anything Gary could have done here to save himself? I know Dimitri was the only vote. He only needed to convince one person. Was there anything he could have done?
I feel like he was too confident that he was going to stay. Because when he spoke to Ike about it, he was saying, I think Dimitri's 90% going to keep me, which was clearly not the case the entire time. I think that he should have made more of an effort to get Ika to convince Dimitri. I don't think he could have made any headway with just Dimitri, but I think that if he had gotten Ika to be totally convinced to keep him, then Ika could have gone to Dimitri and convinced Dimitri. So I think he could have done more, but not with Dimitri himself.
Yeah, we saw him, a big part of his strategy was to lay the guilt trip on people. He did it with Kevin. He did it with, you know, Bruno. He tried to make people feel guilty. And even in his final speech, he was really laying it on thick with Dimitri. He's like, hey, listen, you promised me. You said I was safe. If you want to prove to people that that's the case, like almost in tears, like he's just trying to guilt trip people into it. I don't think that works on Big Brother. Do you, Brent?
No, I don't think it works at all. I think people are going to make the move that they think is in their best interest most of the time. And the problem that Gary has right now is that there are some people who are playing some really good games in the house, and they have gotten Ika and Dimitri's convinced that they are part of the six, even though they have effectively been replaced. So Ika and Dimitri's are effectively frozen into making a move. They can't make a move because they feel like, well, if we make this move, then we'll be out of the six. Little do they know, they're really out of the six right now, or they're tangentially a part of it. Like, they're in the six when it's convenient for the six to have them. And if they, at any time they're expendable, they're going to be out of there. So I think that Arissa had it right, actually, on Facebook Live. She did an interview with Gary right after the show. And one of the questions was, why didn't you have a house meeting, Gary? Why didn't you blow up the house? Why didn't you expose the six? Because then that could have been reset. And while I do agree with Gary that, you know, quote unquote, everybody knows in the house, but it's one thing to know, and it's another thing to accuse somebody in open forum. And if you said, look, you six are working together and everybody knows it, and this is the reason why, I think that some blood could have been spilled. And, you know, you, it's like the old Dan Giesing play, you know, get people talking, get people like saying stuff that they don't want to say, get their cards exposed. And maybe that would have been enough to open Ika and Dimitri's eyes that they are not really a part of the core six anymore. And Gary didn't do that. He played it a little bit too subtle. It's so funny because on the episode, Arissa said that Dre was playing it subtle, but I felt like Dre was actually a little bit more overt than Gary was as far as their interminglings with the other house guests in the house.
Well, yeah. Well, in the edit, Dre was certainly very subtle because we barely saw her on
was
the episode.
Was she there? Yeah, they were like, I love it. They said, you know, Dre is taking a more subtle approach. And I thought, okay, we're going to get a Dre segment here. We're going to see what Dre has been doing. Still about Gary, all about Gary all the time.
Yeah. Well, I felt like Gary did not, he wasn't able to distinguish himself from Dre. There was no reason for Dimitri's to keep Gary over Dre because Dre offered everything that Gary did. Maybe she was not quite as good at competitions, but other than that, she offered everything Gary did. So there was no reason for him to stick his neck out to keep Gary. And, you know, I think that's ultimately the reason it doesn't happen.
Yeah. I think that Gary, while he can say all he wants, oh, we all knew about the six. I think Gary thought that he had special relationships within the six. So I think that he thought that Kevin was on his side, that Kevin was his true alliance, but Kevin was just in the six, but not really in the six. And I think that he felt that way about a bunch of people like Ika and Kevin. And I think that he thought that he was in with them for real, that they were his real alliance, but really they were with the six the whole time.
Right. The alliance was the real deal. The thing that Gary mistook what was sort of in theory for reality, like Kevin wanted Gary there. If he had his druthers, he would much rather Gary stay in the house, and Gary could sense that. So Gary perceives that to be reality, but that's not reality. The reality of the situation is that even though Kevin emotionally feels that way, his logical brain is thinking, well, beyond that, I need to be true to this alliance, and this alliance wants Gary out of there.
Yeah, and every time Gary tries to appeal to Kevin's emotions, I feel like it worked. I feel like Kevin really was feeling so bad. And even Dimitri's on the feeds was talking about, I feel so bad about this. It's ridiculous. But even though Gary was succeeding on that front, he wasn't succeeding on the logic front. And ultimately, as you said, Brent, people do what they feel is in their best interest. But there's another big story about this episode. I feel like everybody's talking about Netta and her edit. Definitely a very villainous turn and a very, very, very over the top negative edit for Netta, which really surprises me. Like, who would have thought coming into this season that Netta would have an episode like this? What do you think, Brent?
Well, when you're basically untouchable and when you are untouchable and you're getting your way. And like we said before, this is a continuation of her HOH from last week. Look, no, you heard me on my Periscope last week. I don't even like Netta right now. And I love Netta, but right now I don't like her because I feel like she's just a little too sure of herself. She's getting her way in regards to everything. And nobody likes that. And she also comes off as a bit of a sore winner. Like, she has everything going her way. She's getting all the stuff that she wants. And she still finds ways to complain about stuff. She's a little bit like Bruno in that regard. And I don't really much care for that. I do think that there is a little bit of sexism at play here. I don't feel like a man in the same situation would get the same sort of villain edit, the bitch edit that Netta's getting right now. So I will grant that to you guys, but I also do feel like Netta herself coming into the season has said, look, last time they thought I was a bitch going into the season and I eventually became one. This time I'm going to be one right from the get-go. I'm just going to lean into it. And so maybe she's aware of how she's being perceived, but I feel like she's getting mixed signals because at the beginning of the season she was voted, you know, she got this pass. And now she's like, are they turning on me? Because you heard in that HOH competition when she was eliminated, they all cheered for her. So if you didn't believe it from the edit that they're trying to make her out to be a bitch, then you saw from the results of the HOH competition, which we'll get to, that when she was eliminated, the whole audience cheered. And that has to hurt. I wonder if she heard that, actually.
Yeah, I was wondering, can they hear that?
Yeah, I wish JP was here. We could ask him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they can.
I know it's a better... In Big Brother US, they can often hear the crowd a little bit. And we hear it on the episode, so it seems like they would be able to hear it. But I think they may also be further away than they are in Big Brother US. So I'm not sure they can. Okay.
There's also the possibility that she could interpret it as them cheering her on. Like, it's okay, you know, you got this. Which, you know, if I were her, I'd want to take it that way. I would not want to think that people were cheering against me.
Yeah, and also it seemed as though she threw that competition. I know she didn't want to win it, so she could easily be like, she threw it successfully. You know, go for Nettie. Not that that's very reasonable, but certainly a plausible explanation.
Right.
Something I was thinking of was, Brent, do you feel like if Netta was not in power right now, if she was on the other side of this and she was acting exactly the same, would she be getting the same edit?
No, definitely not. I mean, she's, like I said, everything that she's wanted, she's gotten right now. If she was like on the cast side of things, if she was like, let's assume that she was aligned with like Gary and Dre and Cass, and she was trying to keep those people safe, and yet she was still untouchable. You couldn't touch her, but she was fighting the good fight. She was fighting for the underdogs. Girl, I'd be on Twitter like, yes, queen, you slay, girl, we love you. But she's like with Bruno and Kevin and Dylan and Emily. We hate those people. At least I do. I don't like them right now, especially Dylan and Emily. So the fact that she's in with them really leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah, and I feel like this is also, and again, it's a weird situation because Netta was such a fan favorite going in. She was the favorite of the entire house at the beginning of the season, and now she is one of the least favorite people, according to the edit at the very least. And but it is causing some sort of divide in the fan base because people are saying Netta's the worst, get her out of here, she's so arrogant, she's so ridiculous. And other people are like, this is unfair. The edit is going way over the top. Like, Netta's not doing anything that anybody else isn't doing. So why is Netta getting this treatment?
I have a question. So, you know, I've been in Florida most of the week. I told you guys coming into the show that I haven't watched a ton of feeds, but I thought I saw in the feeds that the whole thing with Cindy and Netta being the mean girl who's saying, you, hey, make fun of Cindy. Didn't Cindy start that? Like, did you guys see this on the feeds? Like, I the way that was presented on the television show seemed a little bit out of the ordinary as far as reality was concerned. So Melissa, did we see this on the feeds? And I thought let me just say this. I felt like Cindy was playing it a bit over the top as to crying about all the stuff that was going on.
Well, I do know that Cindy talked to Netta afterwards about it, and she told her that, you know, she thought it was a joke and everything was fine, and she was fine with people insulting her, and that wasn't a big deal. But she just kind of, it just kind of made her emotional. And the second she said that, Netta was like, oh my God, I am so sorry. I had no idea that you were feeling that way. And, you know, it's just, I think that her edit is very unfair. I think that it's not that she's a villain, but she's a strategic villain. And all of this is part of the game. It's that they're trying to make her out to be some mean catty girl. Like, that's not what I'm seeing. At least that's not what I'm seeing on the feeds. I'm not particularly enjoying that she's not one of the underdogs. She's kind of getting it in her head that she's this winner and all that, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not seeing this like super mean girl edit that they're trying to give her. I mean, I think she's getting a worse edit than Jason Roy did, which is crazy. I don't know. I don't like it.
Yeah, I was going to say that I think it was Stina Nitz on Twitter who said that in regards to Cass, Netta said, you know, I really was a fan of Cass on her season and I really wanted to work with her coming into the house. Then earlier today, she's talking about Aika and she's like, you know, I was really a fan of Aika. I really wanted to work with her coming to the house. And Stina tweeted like, you know, you have to say it a different way in order for it to be believable. So it's coming off like she's a little bit like playing to Canada, not really like telling us what she really feels, which I feel like you can't have it both ways. Either she's a bitch and you kind of hate her because she's sort of telling us how she really feels. Or if she's faking that and you feel like she's faking that, then by definition, she isn't what they're showing her to be. Like, but it can't be both. Are you guys with me on that? Does that make sense?
Did you follow that, Melissa?
I was trying to get it.
I'm just trying to get across the point that if you're saying that Netta is saying certain things in order to be liked by Canada, then I don't think you can also say that she is just wildly out of control and is letting her mouth and her ego get the best of her. Like, I don't feel like those two things can be true in the same reality.
Yeah, I think I agree. I think that, you know, I don't think that Netta is going out of control. I think that the edit did misrepresent how Netta is acting in the house, especially in that Cindy situation. However, it does, the general gist of it was one in which the audience is feeling that's the same way, right? Like,
right,
the audience is feeling frustrated with Netta, and so the edit is representing that, but misrepresenting the facts of what's actually happening.
The audience, though, is being represented by the minority point of view, though. Like, I feel like that the way that we were being shown about how to feel about Netta was how, like, people like William and Gary and maybe even like Karen feel. I don't feel like that the majority of the house feels that way about Netta. People, I saw somebody ask on Twitter that, you know, I think it was like Tom Palmer who said, you know, I think this shows more than anything that John was Netta's social game. And I have to reject that out of hand because, I mean, Netta has managed to put herself in a position where even if the twist wasn't in effect, even if she wasn't untouchable, I do not believe she would have been touched at this point in the game. And that's because she has people under a spell. Now you can say, well, which was it? Is it the chicken and the egg? Like, does she have people under her spell because of the twist? But I reject that too. I feel like her social game has been good enough. She's made some mistakes, but it has been good enough to get her to a point where a majority of the house really likes her and likes having her around.
Yeah,
and I've heard multiple times on the feed people saying it is so great to play with Netta. Like Kevin said it when he was by himself in the storage room, just being like, I love playing with Netta. This has been amazing playing with her. She's so great. Most of the people in the house really like her just as a person. And I don't see people really viewing her as this mean girl, this like this bossy, horrible,
right,
you know, mean person. She is controlling the game right now, but she hasn't been mean about it. I mean, at least I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, we're definitely getting the perspective of one side of the house right now. And it's the underdog side of the house, or the undercat side of the house, if you want.
I will say that we did, I don't mean to interrupt you, but because I know the chat room is going to call us on this. We did see Aika in the diary room complaining about Netta. So is there a little bit of validity to it? Yes, I just don't think it's as overt as the edit would like us to believe.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, as we discussed on the Monday show, I do feel like Netta's social game has been somewhat lackluster, especially given what I think what we expect from her,
right.
Given that people do feel this way about her. And she is probably one of the biggest targets on her side of the house. And if we want to talk about William's HOH win here, I feel like Netta would be one of his prime targets if she was not immune right now.
I agree. Don't you, Melissa? If Netta wasn't immune, for sure, William, I think he's been wanting to target her since week two. Like, he can't stand her. He thinks she's uppity, and he thinks that she has an ego and is controlling everybody. He would love to get rid of her, but he can't. So who's he going to get rid of?
That's the question. What do you think, Melissa?
I'm seeing him target Bruno or Dylan, because those were his nominations, I believe, when he did the whole secret nomination thing for Backwards
Week.
I couldn't
remember who it was. Yes.
Yeah. I think that he nominated them. So I think he'll nominate them again. I mean, I think his ultimate target would be Bruno, but I could see people potentially convincing him not to do it this week and going after Dylan instead.
Yeah. Taryn, I really want to ask you. So do you think that this is the week that Kevin earns his milk money? Because Kevin has a relationship. Kevin has a relationship with William. He's somebody who I don't think, you know, William would want to target. And I think he is Bruno's lifeline at this point. Like, if Bruno doesn't go on the block this week, I have to believe that it's going to be because of his relationship of Kevin's relationship with William. Don't you think?
Absolutely. I feel like if not only Bruno, but like if Kevin himself stays off the block, I think it's a testament to the relationships he's made in this house.
Do you think that's a possibility?
I do think it's a possibility. I don't think it's likely, but I do think it's definitely a possibility, because I think Dre is going to be pushing, you need to do Kevin and Bruno. I think Aika will probably be pushing, you need to do Kevin and Bruno. And they're going to be saying, look, he's playing you. We've been telling you this. She's going to do the same thing. She's going to say the same thing she said to Carrie, to William. you think he's on your side. That's laughable. He's playing you. He did the same thing to Johnny. He did the same thing to Gary. You need to put his ass on the
but
block.
But from Ika's point of view, though, aren't Ika and Dimitri's more scared of Dylan and Emily like than Bruno and Kevin?
They have been, but there have been a lot of developments on the feeds that we didn't really see in the episodes. Right. Ika discussed that she was feeling upset in the six, the Alliance of Six. She talked to Cindy first, who then went to Kevin and Bruno. Then they got together, and Ika expressed, like, I don't feel comfortable. I feel like I've taken out people that were gunning for you guys, but that weren't gunning for me. And I've kept in people that were gunning for me. And I feel like I'm the only one telling the truth in this alliance. I don't feel backed up. I feel like you're all going to throw the HOH competition. And I mean, from my perspective, terrible game move, because she's basically advertising to them, I don't trust you guys. I probably never will. Just get rid of me. What do you think, Melissa?
I think game move wise, not so great, but feeds wise, it was great. Cause this whole time I've been like, why haven't you noticed that these guys are targeting people that are on your side, Ika? What are you thinking? Why are you just going along with it? But the fact that she confronted them, I was like, okay, finally she's realizing it, but she probably didn't do it in a great way. But I thought it was great that she said this alliance feels very one-sided. Because it is very one-sided. And of course, Bruno's logic back to her was just, well, it's not about who we put on the block. It's the numbers to save you. Like, it's all about the numbers. And it was like, an alliance should be putting up people who's targeting the whole alliance, not just the number to save you if you end up on the block.
It's really funny, because in this moment when I'm watching Ika talk to them, I was really, especially when she was like, I feel like I'm the only one willing to just say what I mean and like say the truth. I was just like, wow, she's Brent right now. She's Brent.
Yeah, exactly. She's the only one who's willing to tell you the real tea, to not put up with any BS. And is that good gameplay? No, it's freaking terrible gameplay. But it may be enough of a catalyst in order to possibly let her target Bruno and Kevin over somebody who I think on her best day, she would probably rather target Dylan and Emily or even Jackie. Like, she hates those people. But if William ends up targeting it, I'm interested to see who, like, if they're pushing in two different directions, if Dre and Ika are pushing in two different directions, like Dre's like, it's got to be Kevin and Bruno. And Ika's like, well, I'd really more like be like Dylan and Emily, or, you know, Jackie and, or maybe even Bruno and Dylan. What does William do? I feel like he's going to go with his girl Dre, but Ika can be a very, very loud, persuasive salesman. So I'm curious. I wanted to ask you really quickly, because this is sort of tangentially related to this, that they showed Dimitri's talking with Netta, and he was like, I see right through her. I'm not going to let her walk all over me. I'm not going to let her tell me what to do. Fast forward to 10 minutes later, I vote to evict Gary. I was like, that was totally worthless and terrible, Dimitri's. Thank you for that.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair to him, I think it's the right move to evict Gary. I think that ultimately, again, like, Dre offers everything that Gary does, only it doesn't piss people off to do that. So, I mean, I would have said it was the wrong move to stick up for himself or up to Netta and keep Gary. But I think you raise an interesting point with William, because I do think that he's definitely going to have Ika in his ear. He's definitely going to have Dre in his ear. And the thing we know about William is that he is very aware of the fact that people see him as somebody that's kind of just like, he said people talk to him like he's a child. And part of that, I think, is the accent, the language barrier. I think part of it is that he, you know, doesn't really stand up for himself very much. And I think that's really on his mind, especially now that he has power. I think he's going to feel like he's going to do what makes him feel like he's standing up for himself the most, whether that means sticking up for himself and saying, no, I'm not putting Kevin on the block. I like him and I'm not going to do it. Or it means Kevin is trying to use me and I'm going to stand up for myself and put him on the block. So I guess that's a long way of saying nothing, essentially, but I feel like that's his prime motivation here.
No, I agree. And I think that he's really, I think if it comes down to it, I think he'll want to show that Kevin doesn't control him and that he's not being used as a little puppet. Cause he's said that before. I think Kevin has like a draw for him and he really likes Kevin, but I think that feel that way. I think he wants to be his own person and not be, you know, the Johnny of you know, this season. So I think that it totally could come down to him saying, you know, I'm not being controlled by anyone. I'm going to make this move on my own. And, you know, maybe it's not really on his own because Aika will be convincing him, but still.
Well, we've talked about this before. Like when, if you're going to make a move, like I feel like you have to make it full on. Like you can't do it half ass and try to be cute about it. If you put Bruno on the block, you have to put Kevin up there with him. Don't you agree?
I do agree here, especially because if he puts up Bruno and Dylan and he doesn't put up Kevin, I think it's basically a given that Dylan goes ahead of Bruno because, you know, Kevin and Netta, they will keep Bruno safe. Bruno has his own connections. I think probably even Jackie goes with the vets and keeps Bruno here, which leaves Bruno pissed off and basically everyone coming after William. And you just took out Dylan, who was never going after William in the first place. You know, William needs to be scared of these vets who see him as the threat that he really is, but he doesn't realize that they see him that way. So we could be in for a you know, bad HOH week, I think, if William doesn't do this properly.
Yeah, and that's what we're all worried about. We're all, I know what I'm thinking, which is we're all afraid he's going to rail it. Like he's going to, like from Big Brother Canada 4. Like we're afraid that he's going to get power and just totally blow it here. Or even like what happened with Allison and the Big Brother Canada 2 when she used the secret veto and got Adele put up and then blew it. Like you made a move, you put yourself in position to win. To win the battle, if not the war, and you just blow it. So don't blow it, William.
Another thing I wanted to point out, I feel like going back to this whole Cindy insult corner thing. So we see this segment, Cindy is crying in the DR. Was I the only one that felt like, where's the Cindy from the very last episode we just watched where she was saying to Jackie, like, suck it up, you're on Big Brother. It's an honor to have shade thrown at you. Like, it was such a drastic difference to me. I think it's probably less about Cindy and more about the editors trying to throw shade onto Netta.
Still,
I mean, what a stark contrast.
Don't you guys agree? Like if this was just a Cindy thing and not a Cindy and Netta thing, then this would never have been shown. I mean, the fact that it was making Netta look terrible and like Melissa correctly points out, they didn't show the end part where, you know, Cindy said, oh, you know, this is just making me feel bad. And Netta was like, oh my God. And, you know, like, I feel terrible. You know, like they didn't show that. Like they don't want you to see that part of Netta. So that makes me like Netta more when they do stuff like that, because I feel like now you're being unfair to her. Like I wasn't liking Netta, but now you're trying to tell me what to think of her. And I don't like that. So now I'm back on her side again. Yeah.
It's more underdog effect coming into play. It's like Netta's doing well. She's getting a fine edit. It's like, nah, that's the bad Netta. But as soon as she starts getting treated unfairly, it's like, well, now she's an underdog in the edit sense. And now we feel kind of bad for her. It's very funny.
I feel like the best thing for Netta, and I know she won't think this, the best thing for her is that William won HOH, because now she's not in control. She's not going to be able to control, most likely, unless he does something stupid. She's not going to be able to control what happens this week. If Bruno and Kevin ultimately end up on the block, you know, where does Netta go with that? And does she get her way? I don't think she necessarily does. I mean, let's just play this out for a second. Let's assume Bruno and Kevin are nominated. Who stays? Assuming no one wins the veto and they're both on the block.
And I think that's tough. You know, I think that William wants Bruno out more than he wants Kevin out, even if he feels like he wants to put Kevin up on the block because he doesn't trust him. But, you know, who does Netta choose?
I was going to say, who does Bruno, Emily and Cindy, I feel like would all be in Bruno's corner. And that's three votes against Kevin right there. So I know we're getting ahead of ourselves, but I mean, I just like looking at the logical path for where this goes. I know the veto can change a lot of stuff, but I wonder who has the votes there. I think it's close.
Yeah, Netta even said when she was by herself that the only person she can trust is Bruno. So I feel like Netta could rally the people to get out Kevin and say, well, Kevin's got connections to the other side or whatever she wants to say. Get people to get out Kevin.
That's interesting.
Trust Bruno the most. So
is there a way to get Bruno out this week? This may be one of those situations like we've talked about before where like Andy had this and a few other people who played Big Brother, Derek, where even if you get him up on the block against their number one ally, you still can't get rid of him. Like there's no amalgamation of nominations that you can come up with where these people voting that you can get ex-target out of the house. So I wonder if you can even get Bruno out of the house at this point. And if William thinks that or realizes that, is he even going to take a swing at him in the first place?
I think you're probably right here because, you know, thinking about Ike and Dimitris, they also feel like they trust Bruno more than they do Kevin. Karen obviously hates Kevin. I feel like Kevin is going to have a really hard time staying over Bruno. Then it comes down to, like, maybe Kevin doesn't go up on the block. Maybe Bruno's against Dylan. I feel like in that situation, he still prevails. Maybe it takes somebody like Dylan or Kevin winning the veto and then having some pawn put up in place of them to specifically target Bruno. But even then, I don't know. It's a really risky move to put Bruno up here.
Maybe Cindy is a possibility. We've hardly talked to her. We talked about her for that segment. But as far as the game goes, I don't know if Cindy is a possibility as a replacement nominee.
I mean, I think she's somebody that could probably stay against Bruno if it's Bruno versus Cindy, especially given Cindy's reputation in this game right now. You're going to evict Bruno because he's just a bigger threat, you know, like no matter how connected he is, that's going to be really hard to break. But is William really going to put up Cindy? I don't think so, especially with people like Ika and Dre in his ear who feel like they kind of have Cindy a little bit, like they're not going to want to put her in the line of fire. So I really think it's going to be hard to get Bruno out this week.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's a testament to his gameplay. I feel like that even with all the twists that are being thrown at him, even with everything that, you know, the Big Brother Canada brings, that he's still able to position himself in such a way where he's insulated enough that really no matter what happens at this point, I don't know that they can get rid of him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's good player of Big Brother Bruno so far, but not a good dancer, I guess. He's a bad dancer. You can tell.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, I know, right? That reminds me, because I was going to do my dance moves. For those of you watching on the video version, I have my LFC lovely shirt on. Thank you, Wendy Uecker, who I think that's how you pronounce her last name. It's Uecker. She's a rap patron. Thank you for making this for me. I shall wear it with pride. And y'all don't have one, so girl, bye.
It looks beautiful. I totally want one myself.
I may put in a good word for you then.
Okay. Okay, so there's one more piece of news. We learned that next week is going to be a double eviction. How do you feel about this, Melissa?
Well, I thought it was interesting because earlier today, John, he from Say Thinking Podcast, he wrote to me and he was on Twitter and he was like, you know what I think they're going to do? I'm going to call it now. They're going to fast forward this next week and so that it's back to real time. And I was like, oh, interesting, that could work. And then like 20 minutes later, they were like, oh, yeah, it's a double eviction. And it was like, oh, my God, there you go. I think he's psychic. But I think that it's going to be an interesting week for sure. I usually hate double evictions, but I'm kind of excited to see what will happen because usually double evictions are where you target the big players.
Well,
so
I was just going to say, after this week, there'll be 11 people left in the game. Big Brother, modern Big Brother has always had a 9-person jury. Do we feel like Netta is vulnerable during the double eviction? I think that would kind of be terrible for Big Brother for her to go out in the double.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whether or not she is somebody that people are rooting for, she is now, at the very least, the big villain of the season. You want to see Netta on the block for a full week before she goes out. Like, you don't want to lose her, regardless of how people are feeling about her right now. You don't want to lose her just in a second like that, the second she's vulnerable. And then another thing to consider is, you know, are they going to start the jury in the middle of a double eviction? It's not unprecedented. It happened in Big Brother 14, but it is certainly very rare that a double eviction has the jury starting with the second person that's evicted. Usually they go together or they don't go at all.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And there was no mention of the jury starting. There was no mention of Netta being vulnerable. Could we be looking at a situation where the jury is not starting next week and Netta will remain safe?
I can't imagine that. Yeah. I really, go ahead. Sorry.
The rumors online were that the jury wasn't going to start for another week or 2 weeks. So, I mean, I don't know if that's true, but that's what I was hearing online. So, I mean, it's totally possible that Netta's just safe and safe and safe until like 3/4 of the game is over. And then finally she's...
Well, that's it. One of two things has to happen. There's a couple different ways they can play it. If the jury starts at 9, then Netta has to be vulnerable for the second part of the double eviction, okay? Mm-hmm. If the jury starts at 7, that means that Netta's going to be, like, untouchable for another, like, what, 2-3 more weeks? Like, that's ridiculous. Like, I can't even believe that they would do that. The other thing they could do is they could do the thing they did in Big Brother Canada 3, where they had, like, a 10-person jury and they ultimately voted somebody off. I actually liked that twist, even though it did hurt our boy JP. So I don't know. I know that Big Brother Canada doesn't like to be predictable. On the other hand, like I said, I really don't think they're going to want to take the chance that she could possibly go out in the double. But on the other hand, Jordan said last night on this very podcast that he thought for sure that no matter what, that Gary would be safe. And Gary was not safe. Gary was evicted. And, you know, the producers wanted to keep him. And he was very popular in Canada. Apparently, that's what I'm told anyway. So, Alex said that we have to give the producers credit. And I'm giving them credit. So if they're playing it straight, then maybe she will be vulnerable in the double. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, this is hearsay, but I'm seeing in the chat, Andrew York said somebody at the taping today said that they asked Arissa when jury started. And she said in a few weeks. So... I mean, that's probably the rumors you were talking about, Melissa.
Yeah.
Total hearsay, not confirmed by Hamster Watch, but it's definitely out there, and so, I think it's a possibility.
That's terrible. That means we'd have to get down to 9 people before Netta could be targeted, unless they're going to have an uneven. They could have an uneven jury with like a final 3. That's possible.
People are also saying Canada's vote. It could be an even number jury. Canada's vote.
Yeah. I can see that. So an 8-person jury with Canada's vote. Mm-hmm. I could get on board with.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that's definitely a possibility.
Okay.
All right. Before we move forward, we're just going to take a quick break and we'll be back right after this.
Yeah. So let's get into some questions here. Let's see. So the first one I got was from John Densford. He says, can we say pretty clearly at this point that Aika should have gone after or should have flipped and kept Dallas, Cass and Gary at this point? What do you think, Melissa?
Well, I was thinking that the whole time that it was happening. I was like, why is she not flipping? I don't see her, you know, doing well in this alliance. So why is she not flipping? And same with Dimitri's, because he's the one newbie in an alliance of 6. I just felt like, why is he going with this? I thought that maybe he would go with it for a little and then drop out and be like, okay, Aika, now we got to do our own thing. But, you know, it's taken them way too long. They've already lost 3 allies of theirs. So I think that I think they should have, you know, flipped right away, but you never know how it turns out.
Yeah, I feel like we're asking Aika to be omniscient. Like, she doesn't have all the information at that point. At that point, she, you know, probably very well thought that she was safe with that 6. And I feel like at that point that she was safe with that 6. So, I mean, asking her to go against the wishes of the majority of her alliance, I feel like is... like that just requires us to break the bounds of time and space at that point, where it requires us to go into the house and say, girl, eventually you're going to be replaced by these 2 people over here. You need to get with the program and keep Dallas. Like, I thought she made the correct move that week for her game to not rock the boat, because Aika, somebody like me who likes to rock the boat. So it was she was playing against type to not do that. And I gave her props for that. On the other hand, from a TV standpoint, it would have been great to see. And by the time Cass was nominated, that was the point where I'm like, okay, like, and then when Gary was nominated, I really felt like that they should have kept Gary. I hear what you're saying, Taryn, that they're basically the same thing and that Dre offers everything that Gary does. But I don't know that that's true. I feel like Gary is a bigger target and he's a bigger mouth than Dre. And he's also somebody who's a bigger target as far as comps go. And I haven't really seen Dre win anything. Has she won anything? I don't think she has. She won that Oreo competition.
Well, I mean, something that Aika pointed out was that, you know, I think Gary's probably smarter in the game than Dre is. And that's dangerous for her, because if she sticks her neck out to save Gary, he's savvy enough to say, all right, thanks. Now I'm going to try and fit back into the background as much as I can and let you be the target for having just saved me. Whereas Dre, I think, is still going to be guns blazing against the people she doesn't like. I mean, she's still in speeches talking about fakeness and, you know, calling Jackie out randomly. Like,
I really hated her speech, by the way. Yeah. I really hated her speech. I mean, that wasn't doing anything for me. I thought she was trying to be funny, but it didn't come off as funny. It came off like she was being a little bit bitchy with the house. Like, I've been the one who's been honest. in this house. I've been real with everybody, but that's gotten me nowhere with you people. So now I'm just going to be fake and plastic as all hell. I'm like, that doesn't really seem like it's great gameplay to me.
Yeah. And why did she come after Jackie?
She hates Jackie.
Everybody hates Jackie.
Okay. Let me just say this about Jackie, because like apparently everybody hates Jackie, and I honestly don't understand it. I like even Brent hates. Obviously, Brent hates Jackie. He's exactly the kind of person that would hate Jackie. I don't understand the hate for Jackie. She's crying in the diary room. Even Cindy's trashing on her. The edit's trashing on her. Like, what's wrong with Jackie? She says like a lot. She's basic. Whatever. Like, she's just a person. She hasn't done anything wrong. She's playing the game.
I tell you what. She's a traitor to her own kind. Because she was with Dre and William and all those people. And then she's now floated over to Netta and her minions. And that's why we don't like her no more. Because you war with the people that we liked. And now you just turned your back on all these people. And I see why they don't like you. Because you're willing to go wherever to save your own butt. Which, of course, is the game at the end of the day. She's doing things to help herself. And I would submit that Jackie is in a better position now than she was 2 weeks ago. So good on her for improving her position in the game, but that doesn't mean we have to like it.
Like, I don't like what she's doing, but I feel so bad for her. Like,
I don't feel bad for her. She's on Big Brother.
People, if somebody in the chat said Jackie is Heather 2.0, and I really feel
oh,
like...
Oh, yes, and I hated Heather too. Oh, my God. Yes. The woe is me kind of girl. No. You're on a reality show. You're there to win. What is it, $100,000? Yeah, exactly. How much is it? I forget.
Yeah, it's $100,000.
Okay, sorry. I watch RuPaul's Drag Race, and I watch this, and I watch Big Brother US, and I'm like, what is it again? I'm like, oh, okay, $100,000. Okay, cool.
Yeah, I feel like Jackie has done the smart thing in the game. I think that she's positioned herself decently well. Like, while everybody does hate her at the moment, who's really going to waste an HOH on her? Maybe it's William this week, but I doubt it. I really feel like she's probably positioned to be here for a long time. And I still remember the feistiness of those first weeks. She was very anti-vet. She was very vocal about it. I think that feistiness is going to come out later in the game once she makes it there. And she could be the new underdog favorite by the end of the game.
Cool. Jackie's okay. By the way, Mr. Robot, it sounds a little bit robot-ish in your mic. So I don't know if you just want to like unplug it and plug it back in or something. But it's starting to creep in there a little bit. Tom Palmer asked a question, which I actually thought was a great question on Twitter. He said, in the U.S. version, newbies usually resist the vets and they get crushed. Can we agree that this Canadian style of offering zero resistance is actually a better strategy given the carnage of vets that we've seen go out of the house? Melissa, what you think about that?
Zero resistance of the vets?
Yeah, resistance
of the...
Right. What he's saying is that these newbies have offered zero resistance this season. Like they've basically said, okay, we're going to work with you vets. There has been no newbies alliance that's tried to form. And thus the vets have taken themselves out week after week after week. What he's saying is when you try to resist it, that's when you get screwed. But like in Canada, they're saying like, you guys are running the show. You guys do whatever you want. And instead of coming after the newbies, the vets are turning on themselves.
I think it's crazy that the vets are turning on themselves so quickly. I figured they'd at least wait it out and get out some of the newbies first, so that way they weren't in the minority. But now the vets are making themselves into the minority.
A severe minority.
On their own doing.
Right.
They're doing it to themselves.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Especially if Bruno or Kevin goes out this week on Williams HOH, too.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't see that happening in most scenarios. So this might just be an outlier. I don't necessarily think that it's in the newbie's best interest to just be like, okay, vets, you do what you want to do. Because I feel like in a normal scenario, they're going to be like, okay, well, you guys are just rolling over. Let's just get all you guys out and then have the vets duke it out at the end. So I don't necessarily see this being a great strategy long term.
Taryn, can we hear you now? Uh-oh.
God.
Oh, no. Oh, no. We can't hear you now at all. Mr. Robot, come back to me. I love you. Okay, well, while you're
having so much trouble tech wise too, it's crazy.
Oh my God. Before the night is over, it's going to be a show by myself. That's what's going to happen. Both of you guys are going to go away and it's just going to be me. Taryn, keep trying to talk because we still can't hear you, babe. Like, it's there's nothing whatsoever. I'll keep tap dancing while you try to fix it. I'm trying to decide at this point, is it better for you to totally be silent Or like, should I feel bad for that? Or should I just let you continue talking in your robot voice? I'm not sure. I'm not so sure. Megan asks on Twitter, Melissa, she says, I feel like it's getting clearer and clearer. Oh, we talked about this. Well, she has a different take on it. She says, I feel like it's getting clearer every week that John was Netta's social buffer in Big Brother Canada too. So do you agree with that at all?
I'm not sure I agree with that because I don't think Netta's as catty as they're making her out to be. I think that she's just, you know, I don't think her social game is as bad as people are saying. I think that she's not doing as great of a social game as we had hoped, but I don't think that she's just totally tanking it and everything's going horrible for her. I think that she's, I don't know, but I don't think that John was her social game. I think she has her own social game. I think that a lot of people in the house do like her. I think people are just annoyed that she has so much power and that she can't be taken out.
Melissa, power rank the likelihood of the following four people going home this week. Dylan, Emily, Bruno, and Jackie. So of the four of those people, basically, it's Bruno and Jackie plus Dylan and Emily. Wait, who is the most likely to go home and who's the least likely to go home?
I think most likely to go home would be Dylan, because I think what we all said about Bruno still stands. I think that it's going to be real hard to get him out, even if he's on the block. I think it'll be really hard to get him out. So I think the likelihood is that Dylan somehow ends up on the block and everybody doesn't want the other person to go out. So they're like, let's just drop Dylan. We might as well just drop him now because we want to save Bruno. We want to save Kevin, whoever they want to save. And I could totally see Bruno going
home. And I will just say from a feeder standpoint, I would love, even though I know we're all rooting for like the six to get blown up and, you know, maybe Bruno to go out of the house this week. Bruno's playing a great game and I'm not going to throw any shade at him. I actually like him. I would much rather from a feeder standpoint, see somebody like Dylan go out of the house, who's bringing nothing to the game whatsoever and is basically just a pawn for the six at this point. Taryn, I think we can hear you, but make sure you put in your headphones.
I'm getting so confused because I see two versions of Taryn.
Oh my God, they're multiplying. There's two Taryns.
Taryn twice at the same time. This is very scary.
Taryn, say something.
It's the Taryn bot.
I joined in on my phone, so I don't know how well you can hear me right now.
That's good. Yeah. Go, keep going. Yeah, you're great.
Okay. So I'm going to turn off the video.
Okay.
Oh my God.
That sounds good.
So I don't look like too much of a robot.
That was so scary.
We don't have Scott here to help it out, so trying to improvise. So I did have a question that I wanted to bring up here. It was from Stynistinks or Stynanitsa.
Yeah, we love her.
Netta getting a heel edit and now she knows it. Should she lean into it like Evil Dick or do things to get a more sympathetic edit?
Yeah, I don't. The question was, Netta, we assume she now knows that she's getting the bitch edit. So should she lean into that like Evil Dick or should she do other things to try and get a more sympathetic edit? I feel like the game this week in and of itself will give her a more sympathetic edit because she's not in control. So that's going to help her on like, you know, the old Joker's ratings polls. People are like, they're not going to hate her quite so much because she's not totally getting her way. And also I don't think you should lean into it because I just don't think it works well. And maybe Netta will be the first person to pull this off, but I don't think it works well when anybody sort of leans into their edit who's not named Evil Dick, especially a woman, because people just, they're so stereotypical. Mm-hmm. They treat her like she's the bitch. And I've never seen, maybe Melissa, you can correct me. I can't really remember. Maybe Vanessa Russo was somebody who kind of leaned into the bitch edit, but I don't think she knew that she was the bitch either. I think she just sort of knew she was comfortable in her own skin.
Yeah, I don't quite see that working in Netta's favor. I also think, especially because this is Canada, and a lot of the times there's a Canada's vote or some sort of thing that Canada influences it, I don't see that working out well for her to turn Canada against her, because I don't see people taking it and being like, yeah, she's running it with it. We love her now because she's so brutal. I don't see that going well for her at all.
Cool.
How does she turn this around? How does she get out of the hole she's essentially been dug for herself or been put into by the edit? You know, how does she get out of this?
I mean, she's going to have a close call. Taryn, I don't know if you can like, it sounds like you're in a tunnel. So just make sure you're like really close to the mic. I'm not sure what's going on there, but, I'm just letting you know, not throwing shade. I think that, if she has a close call, she's going to have a Dan Gieslin funeral moment where it's looking like she's going to be evicted and she turns it around and we're all going to have to bow down to her and say, oh my God, you are so freaking good at this game. You know, that's what, I mean, you know, you have to, we never liked it when Derek on Big Brother 16 was just running the table and was able to just have his way the entire time. You know, Rob always said, if you're tested at some point, like even Andy, he was eventually put on the block and he had that amazing night where he was on the block. And then the next week, like, Alyssa came to him and said, I want to keep Amanda. And somehow he was able to rig it during the double eviction and they never found out that it was him. He played this amazing game. And even though we all hated him at that point, we were all had to give it up to him and say, oh my God, he's so good at this game. You know, one, I think a lot of us were saying those people are so stupid, but a lot of us came around and say, wow, he's really good at this game. Don't you think, Melissa?
Yeah, no, I mean, I also think that if she ends up, you know, having a close call, I don't even think she necessarily needs to have like a Dan Gieslin moment. But right. I think that if she is like tested and tried, you know, and she, for enough times or and she's able to somehow manage to get herself out of it, whether it's like a veto or something like that, I think that she then becomes the underdog. And I think people will forget about all this stuff in the beginning and be like, oh my God, she's the underdog now. These people are in power too much. We need to root for Netta. So I think it honestly just comes down to who's the underdog. So if she goes through a period of time where she's tried and tested and she somehow like comes out unscathed or whatever, I think that she could end up being the favorite again.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay. How do I sound right now?
Much better. Yes. We can't see you, but you sound great.
Yeah. All right. So another question from Stephen H. Which of the new players are playing an above replacement level Big Brother game, if any? What do you think, Melissa?
That's really tough because I don't quite know how they're playing yet, because a lot of the times they're not really doing much, or they're trying to suck up to the, you know, the vets or whatever. So I don't necessarily see how they're doing on their own. And especially because the vets have been in power for a lot of this. I mean, concluding Dimitri's as a vet, but you know, I feel like they've been in power. So the newbies kind of have to adapt to the, whatever they're doing and kind of pretend like they're on their side or maybe really be on their side. I don't know. It's hard to tell because they haven't had the chance to prove themselves and be in power, where this week it's going to be really telling who's playing well and how's everything going and if they really truly are on the vet side or not.
Yeah, I feel like that no one is the answer to this question. No one is playing it above a replacement level. I feel like that most people thought that Dre was. Well, let me take this back. Let me back up one step. If it's anybody, it's Demetrius, because he's well liked in the house. He's won a few competitions. I would submit that it was stupid for him to win this HOH competition. On the other hand, it was backwards week and who knows what would have happened. So maybe, you know, winning an HOH on a crazy week with a twist is never a bad idea if you're trying to make sure that you're kept safe in case something goes haywire with the twist. But like I said, a lot of people thought it was Dre. And I think that we saw her colors revealed a little bit this week. Like, I didn't like Dre when I saw her in the spotlight. I don't know about you guys, but I feel like Dre does her work best when she's sort of in the shadows, like when she's like sort of talking with people in bedrooms and trying to like mount a bit of a resistance against people. I feel like we like her then. When she's out in front on the cameras, I don't feel like it's a very good look.
No. And I mean, also people in the chat are saying, well, what about Dimitri's? Isn't he playing, you know, an above level game? But at the same time, I think he really lucked out by the vets pulling him in the beginning. I think he was, you know, an attractive guy and, you know, Cindy had a crush on him. Aika liked him, whatever. I think they pulled him in and I think he was lucky that he got pulled in, but I don't necessarily think that he put himself there. You know, I think that they decided to bring him in and he lucked out. I don't think that he did anything so impressive to put himself there. Right. Although I do like his gameplay.
I do like his gameplay too. I feel like that, you have to help me out with the terms of the timing of everything, but I thought he won HOH and then they brought him in, right? Like, isn't that the way the timing went down? Like he wasn't in the six before, because at that point there were some people who were still voting against him, right? Or was that formed before?
That's correct. So, so when Aika flipped the house to keep Dimitri's, she said, I've got him. I can convince him to do whatever. He had won HOH at that point. They then formed the six during his HOH reign.
Okay.
So, to be fair to him, he got in on that when, Karen didn't. Karen was left by the wayside when they used her HOH week. He was able to utilize his to get into this alliance. However, as we've talked about, he is now sort of on the outs of this, and people like Netta have talked about being willing to let him loose, let Aika loose, which leads me into my next question from Erica F. Can Dimitri's be reeled back in if the six chooses to axe Aika?
So if they choose to get rid of Aika, can he be reeled back in? I'm going to say yes, but he shouldn't let himself be. Like, at that point, they've showed you, we don't trust you, because we've taken out your number one ally. Like, if that happens, he needs to wake up and smell the coffee, don't you think, Melissa?
Yeah, and I think it also depends how they let Aika go. I think if it ends up where there's actually, like, a war, and they're kind of fighting it out, and Aika ends up on one side and the rest end up on the other side, then I don't see him going back with them. But I think that if it's one of those situations where they're like, there's nothing we can do, it's either Aika or Ned or whatever it ends up being.
Yeah. Yeah. Melissa, you faded out a little bit there, but I got your point. Yeah, basically, I feel like I feel like at that point he would know well enough that that part of the game is over for him, and he needs to start making new allies. Are you back, Melissa? I think we can hear you now.
Yeah, sorry.
Okay, cool. Sound good.
Technical difficulties.
No problem. That's been the bugaboo tonight.
Okay, so another question from Ryan Moore. Moyer, is Team Fun Feeds done for the season? I thought so when Gary left. Now that William is HOH, are we back in business? I feel like, Brent, you are exclusively qualified to answer this question.
We are back in business, baby. William is the new HOH, and Aika and Dimitri's are totally safe this week. And not only that, I feel rumblings of Netta. I feel like Netta is Fun Feeds when she's a bit of a bitch, and I feel like she's sort of been that lately. And even if it's a bit of unfair to her, that sort of, like, Netta as a bitch is sort of taken on a life of its own at this point. So given that she's probably not going to get her way this week, that's always fun for me, because I don't like it when the villain gets their way. But I said, she just needs to be knocked down a few pegs. And the fact that she was not going to get her way this week is going to be good for her. I feel like ultimately it's going to be, even though maybe one of her pawns is taken out, I feel like that who's ever taken out, be it Bruno or Dylan or somebody like that, I feel like that was always going to be one of Bruno's pawns first rather than hers. So this may ultimately work for her. As far as Team Fun Feeds go, Canada or Cass and Gary going out is absolutely terrible. But there are some people in the house who can still, as long as Ike is in the house, we're okay. The minute we lose Ike, I feel like then it's all downhill after that.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I've been enjoying this season. I'm somebody that's sort of, I guess, immune to this idea of like, oh, boring feeds when one side dominates. I liked season 16. I wouldn't mind seeing Netta and Kevin and them just like steamroll the season. But at the same time, I do want to see them under pressure. And so I'm very interested to see how, especially Kevin, handles this week with William.
Yes.
I think if we see Kevin manage to protect both him and Bruno this week, that's going to be exciting for me, even though it leads to that side maintaining their numbers.
It would be exciting for me too. I said it when you were out that I don't actually wish any ill upon Bruno this week. I mean, if Bruno goes out, so be it. But on the other hand, I would much rather get rid of Dylan or Emily at this point, because they're bringing nothing to the show. And after what Dylan did with the Candy Gate thing, he can go girl bye Felicia, because it was terrible and disgusting. And I'm so glad I wasn't on the podcast that night to talk about it.
Yeah, all seriously. Right.
So we should probably start wrapping up soon. Let me know if you have an idea for the hashtag in the chat room. There is one more thing that I want to make sure I bring up. There has been some information on the ratings for Big Brother Canada 5, and they seem to be very, very low. That's the news. It's that the ratings have been very low. People are concerned about the future of this show. Have you heard about this, Melissa?
I have, on Reddit, which is kind of surprising to me, but at the same time, I have no idea what Canada is watching. So I don't know, but I will say that the Reddit threads seem to be less crowded than they usually are, especially the ones where you're watching the actual episodes. whatever that means.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about this, Brent? Do you have like a theory as to why? Apparently, right from the beginning, the ratings were like right from the premiere, the ratings were way down. I think some of that can be accounted for by the fact that all of Canada's TV ratings are going down. But at the same time, it's still fairly significant. So yeah, at least it appears to be.
Right. I haven't read the Reddit thread. I've only seen updates on Joker's updates about Canada's ratings going down. Like you said, all of television ratings are going down right now, with people more and more moving to their live streaming devices and other places that cannot be captured with like Nielsen ratings, or how I don't think Canada uses Nielsen, but they use something similar to that. I just feel like that's just the world that we live in now. So, you know, ultimately, what are their advertising dollars looking like? Their social media presence, how big is that? I feel like ultimately that will be what makes Big Brother Canada come back or not. Although it hasn't helped that they've gotten rid of a lot of their big personalities this early on. And there's a bunch of people in the house that we don't know who the hell they are. Like, I don't know. I mean, I watch the feeds, but if I was just watching the TV show, who the hell is Emily? Who the hell is Jackie? You know, I mean, who are you? Why are you here? Like, that's what most of the people who are watching the television show have to be thinking. So, I feel their pain.
I think also the fact that every episode so far has been centered around whoever's going home. So they're not introducing us to anybody else. It's just like, okay, it's the Dallas show. It's the Cash show. It's the Gary show. Oh, wait, those guys are all gone. Who's left? According to how the like non-feeders are seeing this.
Yeah, I mean, am I the only one hearing echo?
Yep, you're echoing. So, well, we almost made it, Karen. We were so close. Oh, my God.
I know.
I was trying to see if we had any more.
All right, sorry. So,
go ahead.
let me know your hashtag ideas. We have a show on Sunday. It's
the robot.
Oh my God.
All right, plug the Sunday show for me. Do the hashtags and sign up.
Yeah, I can sign up. So like I said, I think what's ultimately going to happen is it's going to be an 8-person jury and Canada's vote, which, by the way, that would, if you're somebody who's in Netta's fan base, that should concern you, because if Canada ultimately gets a vote, which we don't know this, we're sort of just guessing, but on the other hand, I can't imagine they would let it go to 7 to get down to final 7 for Netta to be vulnerable. So if Canada ultimately gets a vote, if it's like an 8-person jury and Canada's vote, that means that Netta will have to get 5 of the 8 people in jury in order to win Big Brother if she's not going to get Canada's vote. Now, she may ultimately get it. She could get to the end with somebody like Dylan or Jackie, and even though a lot of people are not liking Netta right now, they could still ultimately vote for her. I could see that happening, but that's got to be concerning if you're somebody like Netta, if this edit that they're giving her right now. Melissa, do you have any ideas as far as your hashtag goes? I've been looking, but I haven't really found anything.
I saw someone say everyone's a robot but Brent.
Okay. I was trying to workshop that
and robot takeover.
Yeah, well, so let's do hashtag robot takeover, and make sure that you guys check the Rob as a Podcast Big Brother Canada feed. I think Rob may ultimately have an interview with the evicted house guest, that being Gary. And for Melissa Denny and Taryn Armstrong and Brent Wagamot, we are glad you joined us tonight, and we will catch you soon. So thank you very much, and peace out.